Let me start by saying hello. Hello. How is your social distancing coming along? Recently, our lives have been forced to change in many ways. We obviously do not go outside or meet people as we used to. Many of us may be missing the time we used to freely hang out and have fun. Either with or without coronavirus, people who are lonely really thirst for true friendship. In light of that, we learned last Sunday about friendship from Proverbs. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Friends are important because we need counsel, correction, and comfort of them. We find kindness, faithfulness, and patience from the true friends. Think about a few of your own best friends. In your friendship with them, these values give us great joy and strength to overcome hard times. Today, we are studying the biblical example of godly friendship with David and Jonathan. They were in one spirit with Jonathan, and of David himself. We will learn about how they became good friends, what they did for each other, and how we would be good friends to one another. Let's pray to start. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you very much for this opportunity and that I can share about what you really spoke to me about friends and about friendship between Jonathan and David. Lord, please bless this opportunity, and then let us really learn about it, and then give me strength to really deliver what you gave me. We thank you very much for this time, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, how David and Jonathan became friends. Let's first look into the characters of David and Jonathan. First Samuel chapter 14 portrays Jonathan's faith and courage. Jonathan decided to go over the Philistine outpost with his young armor bearer. He was totally outnumbered. Attacking mighty, heavily armored Philistines with only two people was like a suicide mission. Yet he said, "Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Chapter 14 and 6. Jonathan's bold move was based on his personal faith in God who saves. God indeed granted victory and saved Israel, using Jonathan's bravery as a momentum. It happened before David was anointed by Samuel, and later they meet after Goliath was defeated. Jonathan had solid faith in God and was a material ready to be a great king. Then what about David? In the famous story of him versus Goliath, he challenges and says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." David knew that the victory is up to God, not to weapons. He knew that God can save Israel when he comes by the name of the Lord. Jonathan and David had a few things in common. They had faith in the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. They knew God can save them and Israelite nation in any seemingly impossible situations. Knowing who God is, they overcame fear and ran against their enemies. The courage that they had in common was based on the Almighty God. Such faith and courage are valuable and rare. After David achieving victory over Goliath, then meeting Saul to introduce himself, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. It would have been a great comfort and joy for Jonathan to meet David, who had the same quality of faith in God. As a prince and a patriot to his nation Israel, Jonathan would have really wanted a friend that is a strong and faithful leader like David. Jonathan didn't feel like alone anymore when David came into his life. 1 Samuel chapter 18, 1 says, Jonathan became one in spirit with David and he loved him as himself. We can tell Jonathan loved David as number one because loving someone as himself is the highest level of love that a human can give to others. We long for having a soulmate, like one in spirit. But don't we sometimes find it hard to make a friend? I honestly felt that I am very unfit to speak about friends. I am not social and mostly fine without anyone around me. When I was in junior high, I was weak and shy. Many bully boys made my school life so difficult. I really wanted to move to the other school, but it didn't work out. I didn't want to let my parents and teachers down, so I just chose to focus on school study. I wish those bullies would just leave me alone and wanted myself go unnoticed while I study silently. Yet like everyone, I am not immune to loneliness. Ironically, later in the high school and college, I joined in drama club and performed on stage to gain attention from people. I wanted to date, but I had no fun, no money, or no courage to make any girlfriend. So I learned too well about how to spend my time alone, but still not feel bored or lonely. I found many ways to keep myself busy, but didn't really care about others. It was a vicious cycle. I tried, but failed to make friends due to my shyness and interpersonal skills. Then I spent time being alone. I feel lonely again, and so I try, but done badly, so it doesn't work. Yet it was our Christian community that genuinely approached me and became my friends. My Bible teacher spent so much time and money to listen to me and dine with me. I had a hard time to open my heart in the beginning, but he didn't give up praying for me and encouraging me. I certainly felt that he loved me, but later I learned that his love for me was based on his ultimate love for Jesus. When I was about to graduate college, he began pioneering in Busan. It's the end-to-end in South Korea from Seoul, where Annam, our home chapter, was and my college was. I traveled the near distance between Chicago and Toledo each weekend to support the Sunday service. But I never regarded it at all as my sacrifice. I just learned from what my shepherd did for me, which he would have learned from other UBF members, or most importantly, what Christ did for all of us. Jesus came to us in a manger, when most of the world wasn't welcoming him. But he made his first move to be a friend to Peter, Matthew, a Samaritan woman, and so on. Jesus gave up his life and became sin, separated from God. But his sacrifice for us changed the world, so we who love the Lord would love each other and be friends. Second, what Jonathan did for David as a good friend. How did Jonathan practice his friendship to David? Here are what he did. One, Jonathan shared his valuable things for David. Look at 18:4 in the screen. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. These things would have been rarely given and issued to Jonathan since he was a prince and next in line to the king. Yet Jonathan did not spare those for David. We find it easy to give away what we don't really care. But it's so hard to give up something highly valuable. Jonathan loved David more than anything. He gave up many things for David, but his name is greatly honored in the Bible and in the human history with many boys named after him. So he received more than what he gave to David. Actually, Jonathan is not the only example that the scripture presents about giving good things among friends in God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 45, about the fellowship in early church. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. The Christians in the early church were persecution, but they did not go panic buying in fear of Romans or Christian or religious leaders who crucified Jesus. Rather, verse 46, 47 describes they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. We are going through a very difficult time right now. People lose jobs, while business owners are hit badly with no customers visiting the store. Yet we still see people reaching out to offer food to the elderly in nursing home or family with lack of resources to survive. True friends share good things, such as time, food, useful information, etc. with one another. God blesses such giving hearts and fills us all the more with heavenly treasure. Two, Jonathan defended David. Jealousy and false accusations are so destructive. Saul became angry to hear the woman singing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul realized that the Lord was with David and everyone loved him. Yet he grew his jealousy over David. It would have tormented David's soul since David did nothing wrong. In that situation, Jonathan became a peacemaker. Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul when Saul ordered to kill David. He said, "Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly." Saul listened to Jonathan at the time and took his oath and not to put David to death. But Saul continued to envy David and attempted to kill him tirelessly. Saul one day asked Jonathan about David's absence to the feast. Jonathan defended David again. "Why should he be put to death? What has he done? But then Jonathan was cursed severely by his own father and almost got killed. Jonathan knew so well that Saul only hated David, but it didn't stop him from being David's advocate. We can find another good example of that in the New Testament. His name is Barnabas. Saul, not the father of Jonathan, once fierce enemy of Christians, became a new person, Paul. When everyone was still afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple, Barnabas became Paul's friend. Acts 9:27 here says, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey has seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. It was again Barnabas who went and brought Paul to Antioch, where these two were sent off to start a series of war mission trips together. As we have learned last week, true friends do not gossip. Rather, they are faithful and loyal by defending each other. While they would still offer a correction when in need of it instead of mere and blind defense. 3, Jonathan offered David words of encouragement. To David, Jonathan was a friend of encouragement. So he could completely be himself and pour out his agony to Jonathan, saying, "There is only a step between me and death." David also said, "If I am guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father?" Here we see quite different David from him standing as a warrior before Goliath. David fully opens his heart to Jonathan because he finds comfort and encouragement from Jonathan. Jonathan made a covenant and blessed David, saying, "May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father." Jonathan found out soon that there is no way for him to change Saul's mind. He was almost killed by his dad, but he didn't complain it to David. Instead, he let David flee and be saved. From then on, David had to run away from Saul in wilderness for a long time. Yet Jonathan didn't stop being a good friend, though they could hardly see each other. Let us read 23, from verse 15 to 17, together with me on the screen. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." Wow, it is truly remarkable that Jonathan still went all the way to find David and help him gain strength in God. Thanks to Jonathan, David did not fall into the victim of Saul's hatred. He spared Saul's life multiple times. Even after Jonathan died with Saul at war, David kept his oath with Jonathan for Saul's family. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, who was lame in both feet, was treated dearly by David and always ate at the king's table. Jonathan's beautiful words of encouragement helped David and many people, including Saul's own family line, survive. As I have been talking so far much about men's example, let me speak about Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite, not Jewish, daughter-in-law of Naomi. Both lost husbands and became widows. So Naomi offered Ruth to get a new husband. Look at what Ruth said here on the screen. "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Ruth comforted Naomi and stood by her, God comforted Ruth with an awesome husband, Boaz. Ruth is remembered as the great-grandmother of King David. Likewise, we need to stand by each other in difficult times. We need to encourage each other so we may not fall into fear or despair. We do not know how long this COVID-19 will forbid our physical gathering, like our Great Lake Region Conference to happen next week got canceled. More and more people are worse off financially. Business owners can't open their stores and many are going unemployed. In the situation when our neighbors feel lonely, worried, and hunger physically and spiritually, we need to help one another with words and acts of encouragement. We need to be good Samaritans and men of encouragement, that Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." We often feel like phony and hesitate to do so, yet our true strength comes from God, and God will fill us back up as He has faithfully done to us so far. Let us encourage each other and help find strength in God. Third, how we would be good friends to each other. So far, we have thought about what Jonathan did as a great friend. Did David only receive from his relationship with Jonathan? David actually multiplied and magnified his friendship to others. Look at 22:22. All those like who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. As a fugitive, David had nothing much to offer for those 400 men in trouble. But he embraced these men and became their friend. Later, they became mighty men who laid foundation of David's kingdom. Friendship grows contagiously. Virus makes people sick, but friendship makes them stronger. In that sense, while I was preparing for the message, I was concerned about not being able to relate ourselves to the friendship between David and Jonathan. Last week, in an example of friendship, we thought about Frodo and Sam. Then what about some other examples? Woody and Buzz, Aladdin and Genie, Anna and Elsa, and perhaps Ash and Pikachu. To make friends and be friends, can we really do what these guys do? We can do it for a little, but perhaps we'll run out of our friendship inventory before too long. My life key verse is John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I once ran away from God for the shame of my sins and fear of being the first Christian in my family. This verse always reminds me of the importance of remaining in Jesus, from whom I get strength. It is Jesus' remarks only a few hours before him crucified and died on the cross. He continues at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Based on his everlasting love, his command to his disciple and us was this. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. It was Jesus' consistent message that we should love one another. Let's read with me today's key verse 13 and 14. Begin. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus demonstrated his love by laying down his life for us. No other kind of love can be greater than that. His sacrifice restored our broken relationship to God. Jesus on the cross defended us before God against all our sins. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus provided all good things in our lives and Jesus provided all good things in our lives and encouraged us with his words to raise us up. He came to us first when we couldn't go to him. Verse 16 reads, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." I am not here speaking about Jesus unless someone approached me first with God's words. As born in non-Christian family, there is no way that I would have chosen Jesus as my Savior. To be friends and make friends, we should take initiatives and step up. Someone in this very difficult times may be waiting for someone to speak with, someone who will listen to him or her. Laying down lives may sound difficult, but it always starts from sowing our seed of sharing our time and resources for our friends. Even though we feel forbidden to meet anyone due to COVID-19, I thought about how we can remain connected to each other. We can make phone calls. We can email or text to encourage our friends. We now have extra time at home. Hear what your dear family says and ask if there is anything you can do. If you feel like such email, text, or phone call may be interrupting, pray to God for your friends. Or invite a person over our internet worship so he or she may be introduced to our best friend, Jesus. There should be many creative ways to reach out and be a good friend, even if coronavirus seems ruining our lives. Maybe God wants us to make our family closer and appreciate gathering that we may have taken granted before. In summary, David and Jonathan had faith and courage in God. With that in common, God tied them as one in spirit. Jonathan loved David as himself. He shared his valuable things with David. He defended David from accusations and he offered the words of encouragement when David was in need. Jesus is such a good friend who did all this for his disciple and, most importantly, us. He commands us, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We are friends of Jesus when we do it. We can lay down our lives for our friends when we take courage and initiative to be a friend. We all feel lonely and need friends. We can actively meet, but let's not give up phone calls, emails, or prayers for one another. And when we see our friends approaching, let's please open our hearts and welcome it. We can be who we are, like David was who he is before Jonathan, accepting and appreciating his beautiful friendship. May God bless us when we love one another and be friends. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus, who became our friends. We didn't choose him, but he chose and then came to us first. You loved us and laid down your life so you could be our friends. And your command to us is this: love each other. Help us really love each other like David and Jonathan did, so we could really share our things and then defend our friend and then offer the words of encouragement and then acts of encouragement. So help us really be good friends in such a difficult time due to coronavirus going on these days. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.